Oh.
Well, the woman, all of Nesachet Salai in Perak Rishon Halachah Chet. That's it for today. Says the mission. In Notin Yerek, it talks to Dan Shel Shikma. You're not allowed to plant a vegetable inside of a trunk of sycamore. Remember that the sycamore was used for growing wood, and they had a lot of trunks. But after cutting down the large piece, so they would be able to market things in it. And they would use it as a nice bed for planting vegetables because of the stump itself was useful for transferring a lot of nourishment up towards where the vegetables were.
Is it soft enough to plant in that?
I can't tell you, but that's the mission of it. Seems clear that you could. In Markivin Tigin, Agabe Kida Levana, Mitneshu Yarak Vilan, apparently there was a useful technique of this Tigam vegetable, I don't know what it is, on top of Kida Levana, which I don't know what that is, but it's a tree of some kind, because it's planting a Yarek in an Ilan. In Notin Yichur Shel Te'ina V'Tocha Chatzav, Shehe Makeiro, nor can you let a yichur go through a chatzav, a type of gourd, in order to cool it. There's a lot of different approaches over here, but the most reasonable one is that the chatzav would be cooling the yichur shel te'ina, or even better is the lashon of makiro, to make it, give it a makor, in other words, to give it a place where it would be strongly attached, even though that's not the partial sense of the word. Ein toch avim zmorah shel get l'toch avatiach shetei zoreket memea v'tocha v'tnei shehu ilan b'yeret, nor should you take the yichur of a zmorah of a vine and pass it through a melon in order for the moisture in the melon to keep the gefen bright. Ein notnim zera v'lat l'toch achalmit shetei mishamarato v'tnei shehu yeret b'yeret. The same thing in terms, even though over here we're talking about various things that is not real harkava in the sense of using it for mixing, we're just trying to use it either as a better seed bed, or we're trying to use it to keep it moist, or we're trying to use it to cool it, or we're trying to use it to be mishameret, so that the animals can't get at it, and so on. None of this matters. Since what you're doing is you're doing an act of a harkava type mixture, therefore we offer it, not like Rabbi Yehuda Lefora, who says that it needs to be able to mate somehow, to get it mixed. Rabbi Zechariah Chatzneid, Rabbi Lazy Boy, Zechariah was bothered by this business of the case of his Morish of death and the Tocha Vatiach by a very simple question. How can you have an avatiach next to a gefen anyway? You've got a problem of kaloya karen. You don't have to have vegetables next to a vine. So what do we have to come on to a chiddush because of har kava? It's fine. There's no way to leave the avatiach there.
Well,
Omer Rabbi Yossi. Of course, it's growing. If it isn't growing, then there's no issue of kava. Obviously, in either case, you can't. There's no har kava on non-growing things.
I thought he was using a spur up, he's putting his water through, why couldn't he just be sitting there next to it and using the...
Because then it would be mutter. What am I kidding? You're using an avatiach, using a cold cold towel. No. No. So, suck.
That's what I just learned.
No, suck all your life on avatiach and they're okay. Watermelon. Very simple for Rabbi Yossi. Of course, in a case where the avatiach is next to the gefen, we don't need to know our Mishnah. But suppose the avatiach is now 6 tefachim away, okay? And the yichur, or the zmora, which is the word for a gefen's extended tendril, is now 3 tefachim underground. And it goes all the way underground until it gets to the avatiach. Now there's no problem of kiloya karam. Once it's 6 tefachim away, it's not kiloya karam. But there is a problem of har kaval. So since it's underground the whole way up to the avatiach, I don't have to worry about kiloya karam, but I do have to worry about har kavat ilanot and yirakot, and that's what I have over here. Hadatani, based The well-known halakha, that shorshei peyah, which is a type of peyah, we use a type of vegetable, hanichnasim l'toch arba amot shebekerem, as long as it's lamata mishlosh etvachim, or eil mutalim. As long as it's beneath 3 tefachim in the ground, of course, for a kerem, it wouldn't be 6 tefachim, it would be 4 amot. You were talking about him in a single vine. Single vine only requires 6 tefachim. But, I mean, here it's even in the extension of the kerem, in which you have to be marked 4 amot, today I vote as a kerem, mitzvah. So over there, if you went underground to get the nourishment, it wouldn't matter. There'd be no issue. The matan is so strong. Mareva mutarim. Suppose the guy's got some turnips and some radishes that he wants to keep fresh. So he takes them, digs a little hole underneath a vine, which nice and cool. But it has no intent of planting them whatsoever. All he's doing is he's putting them there to stay cool. So as long as some of the leaves are sticking out on top, he's got no problem in that case. Not to worry that it's kelayim, it's not growing. Not to worry that it's shvi'im, as it grows on shvi'im. And by the way, these things may indeed grow. No, they may be motive underground. They have to be motive, but they don't take root. So lo mishum shvi'im, v'lo mishum ma'atrot, any new growth, you don't take ma'atrot. And they can be moved on Shabbos, even though when you pull them up, you think, oh, pull it up, they're not makor. Even though I'm going to be moving dirt as I pull them up. That's why, and only that is why, only that is why that alim need to be megulim. Because when it comes to Shabbos, as far as the other things are concerned, alim megulim are an even bigger kiddush, right? Because if the alim are not megulim, so then okay, and that looks like a growing. But the alim megulim, people walking by think that he's got radishes growing. Afalpikin is no problem. But the requirement for Alim Megulim is only for Shabbos. Because if the Alim are not Megulim, what are you going to do? Dig a little bit to get to the Alim? You're not allowed to dig on Shabbos. So you have nothing to grab onto. So for Shabbos, you've got to be talking about the Alim sticking out. Now, not everybody holds with that. Because the Rambam holds you need to have Alim Megulim, because if you don't have Alim Megulim for Kelayim and Shviyas, then what you're doing looks like you want to plant them. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're not interested in just leaving them there because you want them to take new roots and put out new leaves. So therefore it would be also according to him. But everybody else wants to open the belief. It's for Shabbos alone. If you plant at one time by throwing a chita and a saora at the same time, that's kelayim. Rav Yehuda Omer, no, even that's not kelayim. You need to have 2 chitim and a seorah, or you need to have a chita and 2 seorahs, or you need to have a chita and a seorah and something else, a kusenet. Why? Well, this is rather complex, and we'll see in the Gemara, but the important issue is, how do we define a field? It says, tachah lo tizrak kelayim. Does it say lo tizrak kelayim? So what makes it a seorah that I'm being zoreh kelayim in? Just the act of being Zoreya Kalayim shouldn't be us because there's no Sada that I'm doing it in. Nobody has to define that Sada. The simplest way of learning the Mishnah, we'll see that it's actually much more complex in the Gemara, but the simplest way of learning the Mishnah is that if you have one additional thing, that thing sets up the Sada. Okay, so now, the first seed that lands there creates now a Sada, a local Sada. And now in that Sada, I'm playing the Kalayim with the other 2 seeds. Right? But if there's no sort of there.
Two, I can understand what you're saying. The first seed,
that's why you have the third. So no matter how you work it, you'll always have 2 seeds falling in a seventh. That's what it seems to be saying. We'll see the Yerushalmi has a much, much more sophisticated understanding of what Rav Yehuda is saying. But the Mefarshim and the Mishnayot, just take it to truth.
this is a raya, not like the way we're learning the first mishnah that it was good.
No, it doesn't matter.
No,
because the third one is only there to set up the field. It doesn't matter whether it's Shilayim or the other one. Kiski Amar. Kiski says out now. When it says over here that it's okay, that's lo shano elalepes b'snok. I mean, the Mishnah means exactly what it says. There's things like turnips and radishes. When you put them into the ground, they don't take root very quickly. So therefore, when the miktat alav are migulim, it's okay. But shar dvarim lo, anything else, you put in that kind of position, before you know it, it's got little rooting. And therefore, that would be us for all of the above things, for shviyas and twine and so on.
That's
the okay, sure, so. Would be open on it? Well, Sean, yeah, that's different. He left it, he sent us, he shot for our boring. It makes absolutely no difference, because what? Exactly what is it? Ma'anakayami means hechidami. What is the case over here? What is our concern over here? Is our concern that we're planting now, the kashash over here is, that we're planting the lepet and the tzmon next to a tree? Is that the thing? I mean, these are two different meanings, right? But if they're going to be planted, then we're going to be planted together. What do we need? What's the difference if there's a tree here or not? If the main hiddish over here that we're talking about, that by olim megulim it's mutter, and mashma that it's not a pasuk. Why is that? Is it because these things are being planted together? So who cares? I mean, who cares about the elam? Just say, don't be concerned about planting these things together because you're not planting them. That's all. Wherever it is, well, you put them under the ground anywhere. So that can't be the issue. So then, elam zroim ba'al the elam. And if our concern is that the mixture of here is with a tree, so then what in the world does the gap have to do with it? Yes, I feel a shar kalah ilanot, it should say. It would be exactly the same. I mean, it's not a yes, and it's particularly kloya karen. Is it, you shouldn't say no, it's tzeva shar shatam. So, lama li lefet, it's not no. I feel a kal shar hadvarim. If the main point over here is that I have no intent for this thing to be mishrash. So then, why are you mentioning lefet b'tznon? If we're talking about a case where you took a lefet and a tznon and put them together underneath a geffen, where even if the geffen weren't there, right, we would have a problem with kloy zroyim. Forget about the kloy elon. So then, it should just say over here, instead of confusing us, you took a lefet and put it under a geffen. Or you took a tznon and put it a geffen. Why are we saying lefet, tznonos, and geffen? Well, we're not as hungry as if here. We're going aguda shal lefet. Vaguda shal tznonos. Let's clarify from the Brisa. The Brisa makes it clear that it is not really true that you can put tznonos or lefet underneath a geffen. It's because these are things that are normally put into bunches. So now if the Brisa is saying aguda shal lefet, aguda shal tznonos, separately noted. Don't just say aguda shal lefet b'tznonos. There's aguda shal lefet, aguda shal tznonos. So if that's the case, he understands that the Mishnah is what? Either or. Not both. So it's clear from the Brisa now, everything starts to make sense now. First of all, the fact that it's not Lahashrasha is not because these are things that go slow. It's because I'm making it very clear by putting it into an aguda that these have already come from the supermarket. And I intend to keep them like that. I'm only storing them. There's no Hashash Beklal that it should look like Hashrasha. Furthermore, the way that the Brisa speaks about the language, Agudah Shalefet, means that he's simply explaining the Mishnah, which we got confused about because we had like three minyan, snow, lesson, and get them, and especially in a Mishnah that talks about, you know, throwing kusenet and throwing matika. I mean, it is confusing. It looks like there are three things here. But from the Brayse, it's clear there's two things. And it was just referring to those things, and normally you buy in bunches, that's all. So it's very clear that the time is only because he is doing something to show that there's no problem of Kloy HaKerem indeed. That's the main finish. The reason we chose that is because it's the biggest chumrah that we have. So there's no finish, there's no chashash of Kloy HaKerem because of the fact that we're dealing with an Agudah. We're not talking about planting two things that are loose together, which we wouldn't have to talk about the Geffen at all. When we're talking about a bigger finish, that's all.
You put yourself under the ground,
is that without a fridge. That's basically your humidor. Now, telling a Brayse that a paga should come of the teva, which is say obviously it's nothing to do with teva, or a charara should come not the gichalim. Now you took a paga. A paga is a fig, which is why it's called a paga. But it's an unripe fig, which is why the fig was the etadas, because he ate his paga, as the Gemara says, right? Ate that fig too early. The etadas was roy, but it was a fig. And therefore, you use fig leaf. So the te'ena over here was put to be kept inside of tevin, which is to preserve it. Or you have now a charara that you put inside of the yacholim. This is, of course, only in the Gabi Shabbos, where you were making this Eish Tanur inside. It's covered now with charcoal. So imhayu mikrasan megulim, if you can grab the edge of it, and you don't have to touch the dirt, the tevan, or the yacholim, so then nitalim b'shabbat. You can move it on Shabbos, even though things are being shaken around. Meanwhile, in nitalim b'shabbat. So in other words, we don't care about the movement of the gecholim or the tevan because this is basically tiltum and hatsat completely falls off by itself. You simply take it out. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadayomer, I tell you, it doesn't matter whether it's megula or not because we don't care if you would be tochev b'shpud or b'sakim v'notel. Even if none of it is megula, I don't have a problem with taking a little screwdriver and putting it through, that's a very little tiny movement that you would cause over here, and grabbing, spearing the end of the thing and pulling it out of the ground. Because it's clear that there is absolutely no intent here to move. So even if you do, and you couldn't necessarily find a spot right between, it's overshane and misgave. Hashidra Blazit and Tadoy for Vishiman. In other words, what you're saying is that it's a Dovashana Miskaving, and that even if it does move something, since it wasn't your intent and didn't have to move, because it's a small thin thing that you put down there, so it's not a problem. Good point.
So what's the bearing thing?
What?
So what's the bearing thing that you're trying to get to?
Yeah.
And he's allowed to try it up.
Spirit.
But you didn't know where it was. I mean,
there's
not something sticking out
there. It's got a radio transmitter in it.
Mm-hmm.
That
piece is right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah, I was thinking Tommy Newton.
There's a lot of them in there. You just stick them, they're going
to
get lost.
Whatever the case is, why not use a radio beacon? Ask the Revolution and the Zagreb Shim. So this apparently means that Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoy holds like Rabbi Shimon knows the Dovr Shein with Gavin is Mutter. The Tony lo yigror adam at hakisevet amitavet hakathidra b'pnei shiu oseh chariz. Rabbi Shimon writes here, the person shouldn't drag across the floor his chair or his bed or his break front because he's going to make a hole in the floor as he pulls it. Rabbi Shimon says if that's not his kavana, it's okay. Rabba v'shem Rehuna, Chaga v'shem Rabbi Zeira, Yezid v'shem Rabbi Elah, all say that modim chachamim Rabbi Shimon, the tisei sherad lov mishukaot betit, shemutar l'taltalo, v'kumot etema mutar l'taltalo, v'kavatam mutar l'azilo. You should know that the chachamim don't argue on all cases. They're moda that in something that is very loose. So you know, let's say you have, let's say, some like you know, a loose concrete peat, right? Which doesn't, it's not going to keep a guma in it at all. If you pull it, it simply just, the whole thing just falls in. There's no guma there. So if you're trying to put a loose sand, you're trying to make a hole in loose sand, you make the hole of, the sand just comes back in. So there, their moda, that in such a case you could be metalcolous, because there's no chashash of really, oh, say guma. The guma has to have a kiyum, like anything on Shabbos, that's not called a guma. And by the same token, you could also put it back in, and it's not called, in that case, chofer either. Because whatever you're doing with it isn't meant to be mitkayim. You take it out, the thing collapses. Put it in, the thing is going to collapse when you take it out. So who cares?
But only
it's not kuma. It's not, no, but then you're touching the sand. The sand is mukta. You're tilted all your, it's tilted in outside.
But do you use the
double stuff? No, that's right. So that's a cleat. It's meant to pick it up. It's not meant outside. It's in the front. Well, I'm going to be able to. How not money to me, huh? Me telling the Shabbos. And that's exactly, isn't it? That's what the Mishnah is saying. It's saying me telling the Shabbos. So, obviously, it's talking about something in which it's soft. I mean, it can't be talking about something which I have to pull it up and rip the stuff out of the ground. That would mamash be chofer. That's not tilto mukta. So that's exactly what the Mishnah is referring to. Soft afar, when it says over an afar. And therefore, the reason I'm saying mat is because the guma is not mitkayene. So, yes, of course, you're not saying only like Rabbi Shimon. It was Rebbe Lozer was saying like Rabbi Shimon because of the problem of sticking in the night. But the case in the Mishnah, it's saying that even the Chachamim would be motivated to Rabbi Shimon, as long as you're not moving it purposefully. Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon, do Rabbi Shimoni. Says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon, well, you're saying that what? That it must be that Rav is right because that's the pshat that the Chachamim would be made. Who says the Chachamim would be made? Maybe it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. How can it go according to Rabbi Shimon? Excuse me, sir. What then is it Shviyah? Is of name of Shviyah Rabbi Shimon? It says over here, Ein HaKhoshe Shmanei HaShviyah. Why Ein HaKhoshe Shmanei HaShviyah Shmanei what? You shouldn't be Chayshish that it's Shviyah and never got over Shviyah, even though you left it under the ground for a while because you had no intent of planting it, right? There's only one small problem. Happens to be Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the view of the Shviyah and HaShviyah. So, obviously, the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. That's the Raya to Rava that I'm bringing. The Mishnah's going like the Chachamim, and anyway, you're allowed to pull it out. So you see that even the Chachamim, the motive, it's soft, there's no problem. He says, what do you mean? Why not? Rabbi Shimon said, what? Rabbi Shimon, Makib is Mishnah Shviyah. You're trying to stick in that this is Rabbi Shimon's Mishnah? He says, how about Rabbi Shimon, Makib is Mishnah Shviyah? Who said it's not Mishnah? They saw the Kedusha Shviyah. All that means is that if I take it, I don't have to be worried that the new growth is covered for Kedusha Shviyas and get myself involved in which garbage pail I'm throwing out the peels. That's all it's saying. And who's to say that there was any thought of speaking over here? So maybe that's the thing that it means over here. I'll talk in Okoshish. Lo Mishum Shviyas means, take out that vav, Lo Mishum Kedusha Shviyas. It's amazing when you see how the people that printed this thing up, had no idea what they were doing. I mean, these little osios that, you know, you would, when you don't know what you're sort of might to cope the alma. But yeah, it sounds right. Lo mishum shviyas, lo mishum kibishum shviyas. Exactly the opposite of what he's saying, right? Lo mishum shviyas means lo mishum kibishum shviyas. Now, zarash name meaning bibita. Oh. All right, well, let's
go ahead.
Well, what are we doing now?